Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, man, Carl is getting better, fighting the good fight, and he will have to save his pipes because Thursday we're going to be live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Back to the shenanigans, back to the action as we get ready for March Madness and continuing with the Sweet 16, as there's a lot of chalk and a lot of 1 and 2 seeds advancing. So come on down and join us guys at Twin Peaks. This hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. A couple of guys hitting us up on the text line earlier. More guys, really. I guess you're on the app with Odyssey and you're rewinding, loving the Vit Krejci conversation. Yeah. And still loving the vibe from last night with an amazing come from behind win against the Celtics.
Yeah, it was good to hear from him, and the vibe at the arena was amazing as the Hawks grinded. I know a lot of people wanted to leave. Listen, anytime right. You're down 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, you don't want to watch that. But no. They gave you a reason to stick around, and then it got really interesting, and then they won, and it felt great. And I said earlier, and I still feel this, like that was the best win of the season. There's no disrespect right. to anybody that's not playing, you know, but we know there's a bunch of injuries. No Jalen right. Johnson, no Trey. I mean, there's a bunch of reasons why they could have just folded up last night like a cheap suit, you know, and they didn't.
And that's why you love sports. You know, sometimes, you know, we always aspire for championships, and we just feel like, you know, are we off in the weeds? This offseason is going to be a huge one for this organization. But sometimes it can be a game that even if you don't win the war, you win the battle. I remember back to, like, you know, the year the Celtics won the championship. We took them to 7 games.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, Zaza Pachulia with those razor-like elbows going up against Kevin Garnett and some unbelievable games where, unfortunately, you know, the Celtics just bowed up and got us in 7. But as a DP, Derek hits us up on Twitter, says, D. Hunter called game over for Boston to celebrate the greatest comeback in franchise history. And as far as comeback win, he's right.
It was great. And, you know, again, I asked Mike this. Does it change your opinion about what this team may be able to do? Here's the thing. If, and these are big ifs, you can get Jalen back.
Right.
If you can get Trey back. If Hunter can continue to be consistent, right? If you're getting this effort from your role guys, then the answer's wide open. Like, I can't tell you that they couldn't take the Celtics or anybody right now in a 7-game series to the limit. But that's a lot of ifs, and that's why last night, love it for what it was. But, Mike, until those other questions get answered, we won't know.
But Hunter, like I said, you know, we dogged him out over the years, but and deservedly so. But he's been playing some great ball, and last night that was a huge moment. Coming up in 20 minutes, Coach Ross speaking to the media at the owners' meetings, what he's talking about the Falcons. But right now it's time to hit the dog report.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, man. Kirby says he's going to hang tough. Not going to bend NIL and portal. Well, it's easy to say you're not going to bend to the NIL and portal, but you've got to play ball. Dabo Sweeney's got to get back in the swing of things because he's lost his way because of those same kind of opinions, you could argue.
Yeah, listen, the NIL thing, Kirby can be very picky right now, Mike. Mm-hmm. But by his comments, you can tell he does not like the vibe of what's going on. And the vibe is, and you're going to say, what's wrong with it? You're a top recruit. Kirby comes to see you. And the first thing out of your mouth is, not how I can get better. How much playing time am I going to get? Can you develop me? What do you think my chances are of going to the NFL? How does this make me a better person? Can I get my degree? Mike, how much money you got for me?
Right.
That's it.
Look, to a degree, Saban felt the same way. And that's why I say, look, Saban had nothing more to accomplish in the sport. But you could feel that, yeah, that's not what he signed up for.
It's not.
You know, even with the millions the coaches make, they're not in that business either. No. I feel almost like a pimp.
And correct. And so then what happens, right? Let's just hypothetically say, and I don't think this happens with Kirby, but let's just say any particular coach in college football that wants a player, Mike says, all right, I got this amount for you. And the kid goes, USC just offered me double. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, I think it's part of, and this is the balancing act, and I know that Kirby's talked about a little bit, is you got to find the guy who fits your style, right? Like the quarterback they picked up from Connecticut. Maybe he's a guy that, you know, no big gigantic pronouncement of where he's going. Just, hey, I'm going to Georgia, and that's it. Try to find the balance between the old school. And I hate to, like, I'm not trying to sound like, you know, the guy with the pennant, Carl, and the straw hat. Yeah, huzzah, the old school student athlete. But you really do have to kind of find the throwback guy who wants to be put in the best position to become the best at his craft to get to the NFL. And for many years before NIL, that was Saban's sales point at Alabama, right?
That's right.
And Kirby is a disciple of Nick, so it's the same thing. You come here, we have a way of doing things, we have a culture at Georgia, and you're going to go to the NFL.
Yep.
But you got to find it. And then in some cases, like with Bear Alexander leaving, adios. Maybe you never fit us in the first place.
Well, and by the way, I'm not saying that it is wrong for these players to ask because NIL is now legal. What I am saying, though, is when an amount is offered, okay, and we could talk about the Dylan Raiola situation, Mike. When an amount is offered and you go, all right, that's cool, and the parents go, that's cool, but then it changes.
Yeah, moving target.
That's the problem.
Right, and look.
And it only changes because other schools are saying, well, we can do a little bit more. And then you have to decide as a program, like Kirby saying, we're not interested.
I think you got to find that blend. Look, you know, with Mike Norvell down in Tallahassee, you know, he's got guys that he's brought up through the process and recruited, but he's also realized, you know, you've got to use the portal. Like, if you don't have the portal, FSU doesn't get to the cusp of a national championship appearance last year. That was the only way they got there.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I think for some schools, until you get to where you're further on down the road where Kirby is, and then you can start to, you know, augment it with the portal, but it's got to be a part of it.
It's got to be a part of it.
Right. Hey, Kirby was talking about a lot of things yesterday with the media, in Athens with practice. A lot of folks, and we spent some time yesterday talking to Connor Riley about the Trevor Etienne arrest for suspicion of drunk driving, alleged. You would be going 80 and a 50 in Athens, crossing a yellow line on a curve, which got the police's attention. He says that there's a lot of interest in the ETN situation. He wants to reiterate what he said about the kid. He said he's enjoyed getting to know him, thinks he's a great kid. But he did go on to say that there are some things in place as far as discipline. He goes, in addition to university discipline process, they've got stuff they deal with in-house. He'll be under the same rules they have as basically the things he said in the past about other transgressions with Georgia players, some of it, you know, automobile-related. Disappointed in his decision-making, Kirby said, but he's a good kid. And with that, then he opens it up to questions. So waiting to see how it's going to play out. But it's hard to imagine in the history you brought up yesterday of losing to lose a student-athlete and a young woman in the administration, in the sports department, that you're not going to suspend him for 2 or 3 games. I just can't see. I just don't think a one game cuts it.
I don't either. And it's a tough decision for Kirby because, again, I think he doesn't want the public perception, and maybe he doesn't care, Mike, but to be, this is our policy and we don't care who it is or what the circumstances are. Circumstances always change your result. It always changes your decision. If you've lost a child in a drunk driving situation, Mike, right, you're going to think about that differently than someone who hasn't and how those people should be punished.
Right.
I think Kirby is really probably contemplating what is the right punishment and fair. You're going to kick the kid off the team? No. So what is the punishment?
Right.
And what is fair and what makes other people around the program feel like this is just?
Right. And not trying to be heavy-handed. It's just, you know, Chandler LaCroix and, you know, when you think about, you know, Willick, you've got to figure that that's got to, you know, Devin Willick, you've got to, it can't just, you know, be, oh, that's ancient history. It should mean something that things
it's
like
fresh.
This don't happen again.
It's fresh.
Like
this isn't 15, right, 20 years ago. This right. is right in our, yeah. right here.
I'm not trying to be trite about it, but, you know, when you have a tragedy in anything, you know, it's hopefully it leads to something that lends itself to better decision-making down the road, and unfortunately that hasn't been the case, although he is new to the program, so keep an eye on that. Georgia, we talked about Justice Terry, flip his commitment from UGA to USC. Dogs have got 4 defensive linemen taken the first round of the last 2 drafts. USC has had just 1 defensive player drafted in the first round since Kirby got to UGA. Terry is not the only guy that has committed to USC that Georgia was looking at. Outside linebacker Isaiah Gibson apparently also going to USC. So,
yeah.
And they need defense at USC, but unfortunately it seems to be at the dog's expense right now.
Well, again, this gets back to, you know, you're going to lose players. It's always happened, and it will continue to happen. I just think the circumstances in which you're losing players. USC is not the program Georgia is right now. And if you're one of these players, if you're telling me, Mike, they're going for the playing time, I'm not buying it.
Right.
I'm just not.
Nah. And I know that, look, the thing is that why we keep guys always saying, why are you harping on the defensive line? Because they had the two best defensive lines back-to-back to win back-to-back national championships. And last year it wasn't as good, and you didn't.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get Jalen Miller on the ground with your defense, right? That's basically what kept you from getting back in in the playoffs.
That's it. No doubt.
Hey, man, the Dog Report here on Dukes and Bell. We'll also, by the way, I'd be curious to see where the Dogs go. I did see an article, this is from the LA Times yesterday, saying that the Chargers may continue to be shopping the pick and maybe trading down, because guess who is on the wish list of Jim Harbaugh?
A big tight end?
Brock Bowers.
It makes sense. It really does. With what he likes to do offensively, what Bowers is able to do, what the quarterback is there with Herbert, Mike, it makes total sense. It just does.
Now the question will be, who's going to come on up? And we had the conversation. We'll talk more about this later in the day about, you know, just where the whole pecking order comes. If it's a bunch of nonsense what the Commanders are throwing out there and the Patriots, they're totally going to go quarterback unless they like J.J. McCarthy and feel they can swindle a pick and still have literally have their cake and eat it too.
It's
right?
True. Yeah.
Drop down and still get your guy, and somebody goes for another guy. The dude who you thought was the dude playing quarterback is the other dude. The other thing is the Chargers apparently also very interested in Roma Dunze. And they also feel they can maybe perhaps move back and still get him if there's a run on quarterbacks in that top six.
Okay. All right. Listen, receivers, there should be four quarterbacks taken in the first 15. There probably will be potentially four receivers taken in the first 25. And Mike, I think it depends on what you know happens, but that's a lot. And this receiving class is deep. I'm hoping we can still draft one, to be honest with you. I know we've addressed some of these needs, right. But I just feel like some of these guys are going to fall into your lap. And I'm not talking about first or second, you know, rounds. I'm talking about later rounds. But
right.
We'll see.
Hey, that's a Dog Report on Dukes and Bell. We were talking a lot today about, again, a great win. We're not saying the Hawks are going to the championship, guys. We're not even saying they're going to win a play-in game. We're just saying it was a great game last night. Got this on the Twitter. We don't call it the X. From Richie ATL. He says, come on, guys. Let's not fall for fool's gold on that ridiculous, unlikely 30-point comeback win last night that will blow this blank team up. He's talking about the Hawks, and he's tired of spending his hard-earned money watching this crap, he says. So that's not exactly the message which most of us
fire
got from,
sale it, fire sale.
From watching the Hawks last night. Richie apparently still in his bag over the overall performance, Carl, of this team.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, what does he want? What does he think when you've got three starters injured? I mean, like, that was a remarkable win. I don't care if everyone was healthy or not. I'm taking it for what it is.
How about enjoy it? And what's otherwise been a pretty dreadful season, how about enjoy a moment of fun? It was fun.
Correct.
How was the game? Oh, I don't know. We were down by 30. We came back and won it. That's fun.
Yep.
That's entertaining.
That's it.
You know, had a bunch of meatheads from Boston sitting next to me. Get your hat, get your coat, get the what on out the door. That's fun. So, look, we get it. And if by the way, our enthusiasm for talking about a comfort behind win, that should not be mistook for we think this team's going to go on a run, because if this team could go on a run, they would have tried to go on a run. They just don't. There's certain injuries you don't overcome, and there's certain missing pieces that they had regardless of the injuries you still got to find, right?
We didn't play defense.
Stop it, Nate. What's his name? What's his name?
I just reduced his screen, Carl.
Was it Richie?
Richie.
Richie, when's the last time the Hawks came back from 30-1? That's why we're talking about it. Never. So give me a break. I enjoy the small wins in life. This is a small win for our Hawks team.
Right.
I'll take it, and let's see what happens. But no, Mike's absolutely right. We're not telling you they're going to go to the championship.
No, and I just think there's moments. You root how you want to root and be a fan. But as a fan, I just can't not be excited about something like that, especially if you stuck around to watch the whole game.
Yeah, it was fun.
And watch it evolve.
Did you say it was fun?
Richie. When's the last time you walked on a beach, saw a movie, held hands with your woman, if you have one?
Yeah.
All right, guys, we'll come up next. We'll talk about what Coach Ra had to say at the owners' meetings today. Everybody's talking. Arthur Blank saying, nothing to see here about Kirk Cousins, any potential tampering. But we got some sound. Coach Raheem Morris, what he did say about this team, direction. And I'm not saying there's going to be any secret code words, Carl, about the draft, but we'll try to find out. It's coming up next on Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We were just talking during the commercial break about the new rule changes for 2024. And we just saw the one of the dudes on the commission, the committee, I should say, for the rules, Rich McKay, who, despite many Falcon fans may or may not know, is still involved in the NFL, Carl. Still coming up with some of these new rules tweaks. The onside kick, we were just asking, if you're going to have kicking guys, you're going to be kicking with a defensive kicking team on the 40, receiving team on the 30/35. Kicker will be back on his own 35. So whatever happens to the onside kick? Well, we looked it up. The rule means, for the most part, the death of the onside kick. There is a rule tweak, though, Carl, allowing onside kicks in the NFL to be attempted in the fourth quarter. A team trailing in the fourth is allowed to attempt one, though they have to announce their intentions before the play.
Yeah, which means you can't fake it anymore.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there goes that element of surprise. And I saw Rich McKay again speaking about how only two have been successful in the last, 18 or so. Well, that still means it happens. Still means there's a chance, albeit a small one.
Yeah, I mean, we rarely see teams convert that and then go win the game, right?
We had a great stretch with Koo a couple years back that was crazy, if you remember.
Yeah, putting it high. And
right.
But, yeah, I think they realize the kickoffs are more important to get some action there. Mm. So we get that rule change. And the onside kick, where are you going to limit a rule? Well, you can limit the onside kick because they happen so rarely. Right. So I think that's probably the thinking. The other part of this is Cordarrelle Patterson has a new home, Mike.
Yes, Cordarrelle Patterson signs a deal for $6 million with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, Arthur Smith landing there as the OC. He reaches a two-year deal, which probably kind of be similar to what he had here last, maybe one with an option for two, Adam Schefter reporting. So as I said on Twitter, congratulations to C-Flash P84. Hopefully you can break one, just not against us. The Steelers will be one of our home opponents at Mercedes-Benz this year.
Yeah. Well, now you've got at least two motivated people, okay?
Carl, that's a surface narrative.
Yeah, coming into that game. Listen, CP's a great dude. We had a great time. I know he's from the South. He's still going to be here, living down here. But this is a good move for him, man. And
right.
With the returns now becoming more relevant than they've been, Mike, he adds that element.
Yeah, because remember, he'll have a chance now to, you know, again, with actual kickoffs and, you know, no fair catches. So you got to do something with it. It's going to be a lot of fun for him. And I get it. You just said he's a fan favorite. But unfortunately, with the cap space, guys, as you see now, we barely have enough before restructuring. That was just that $6 million kind of a luxury item we couldn't afford.
Oh, that's a convenient narrative.
Come on, Art.
No, it's actually true. And then we also brought in some wide receivers that can, like Ray can actually do some of that work. We got some other dudes that can,
Ray McCloud.
Have got some experience in kick returns as well. Speaking of the Falcons, Raheem Morris was speaking today at the owners' meetings down in Orlando. Speaking of some of the new faces, here's Coach Ra on what is Darnell Mooney bringing to the table.
It's separation. You know, when you're talking about Mooney, you're talking about an elite separator. You're talking about a guy with gas. You're talking about a guy that can run. You're talking about a guy that get the ball in his hand and make plays. You're talking about the kid, the character. Knowing him from the draft when he came out, what he was and some of the stuff that he brought to the table when it comes to that. A highly competitive young man. He fired me up with the opportunity to be able to go out and get him. So I could talk about him all day and some of the stuff that you really love about him. But when you see the guy be able to stand up there at the X position and probably be an elite separator for you, win one some of the one-on-one matchups, some of the 50-50 downs that he turns the other way for you, really fires me up having the opportunity to do that with him.
Mm. I mean, we noticed that, at first blush, it was like, Darnell Mooney? It wasn't like it was a household name.
Yeah.
You know some of the bigger name wide receivers that were out there. Everybody, to some degree, coveted what the Rams, or the Chargers, I should say, were going to have to give up either through trade or just release it, you know. But those guys, that's also too expensive. To get into Keenan Allen type thing or Mike Williams, that's just too cost prohibitive. So we went via a move with Darnell Mooney, and we get him. And he's also a guy Kirk Cousins says pretty good. So he's been scouted by our quarterback from his games in the NFC North.
Yeah. I think they're going to be able to use him in packages and different things, but we needed more speed.
Right, and that gets back to the next question for Raheem Morris. Why do you add these receivers as we're trying to look a little more Ram-like?
It's really funny because it's not really just my vision. It's not really just what we had here in place already. We're building a whole new Atlanta offense with Zach Robinson and all those people that I mentioned before, and I thought it was really important that we get threats on all three levels of the field, and Drake provides such a good threat from an underneath standpoint, from a high cross standpoint, from the stuff that he can really do and he done well throughout his career with the toughness that he displays. And I thought putting pieces around him like the Moonies, like the Rondell Moores and some of the guys that we're to bring in, and even some of the guys that we brought back that were already on our football team, I think those guys fit well within that room. And you got to add to their coach, Ike Hilliard, and some of his thoughts, some of his beliefs and what he's done in the past and how we've moved and all the places that we've been, whether it's been Tampa or D.C. or whether it's been L.A., wherever it's been, Atlanta, the first time I was here, all of those things have really been built. And I just got a vision for how that position looks. And I was lucky enough to be around Roddy and Julio Jones and Harry Douglas and keep going, Hardy and all of those guys. You're talking about Taylor Gabriel. And you had different body types. You had different movement skills. And you want to be able to put all those guys in that room so you can really provide more opportunities for that quarterback to get those guys the football so you can be explosive.
We're looking for speed. You know, we're looking for some speed. And, you know, we mentioned, Ray. Rondell, by the way, has got 22 punt returns in his career and 13 kickoff returns from his time in Arizona. So that's another guy who could throw that role in there, too.
So we have some options. Right. Listen, the return game for us has been weak sauce. It just has. And it's got to get better. And we've got to get more production, better positive field position out of our return game.
Losing Avery Williams killed us.
It hurt.
Because the guys, even what they're instructed to do, they just didn't do. And no. So it was bad enough for Desmond Ridder. You had field position was always a struggle. And half the time, those guys would have you behind your own 10-yard line or inside the five sometimes.
That was a big part of it, Mike. So, yeah, I like the vision. I need to still see how it looks.
Right. Hey, speaking of Desmond Ridder, he said basically he was above board and it was not Ridder demanding a trade. He was cool. Take a listen to Coach Rob.
When we talked about Des and we talked about what his role could be, you know, him potentially being that young person that can play with us as well.
Right.
So we had a vision for him. But you field calls from people all the time about different people, about potential trades and those things. Desmond was a great kid and did not come to us and demand a trade. He did not come to us and do anything like that. He was in working out, doing the things that he's supposed to do. The opportunity presented itself for him to get a new start. The opportunity presented for us to add speed to our room and do some things at our receivers part with a guy that I just got finished playing against for the last 4 years that drove me nuts. 3 years, excuse me. But I thought some of those things were the factors. And I thought Desmond went out with class and he was there with class every day. And I had no intent on throwing shots at Des.
Okay. Yeah, keeping it cool. Right, being straight, Rod's not—he's not that kind of dude.
No, but I told you, he wasn't running him out there. It just wasn't happening.
You couldn't do it.
And I don't think Desmond Ridder is a problem. He's never been an issue. That's not been the issue here. But just like with anything, Mike, new regime, new vision. I'm going to bring in my guys, and this is just kind of what it is. But yeah, we wish him nothing but the best. I don't know, Mike, where he finds playing time, because again, Kyler Murray got his big deal out there. Right. If he's healthy, he's gonna be the guy. Maybe Ridder sits for a year or two more, Mike, and then maybe finds a home where he can go play. But I think it's gonna be hard to find some playing time for him.
Yeah, it's just one of those dudes where you wonder if he just becomes kind of like, you know, where's the baseball cap for a couple of years, and you know, it's hard because it'd be younger guys, cheaper options coming up for teams. The contracts aren't going to be there unless he can reestablish himself, and that's going to be difficult. Hey, one last cut from Coach Raheem Morris at the owners' meetings where Arthur Blank also spoke. You'll hear that coming up at 5 o'clock in the Falcon Report. But we want edge rush, right, Coach Ra? Edge rush.
Oh man, I think it's a really deep draft class all around. I think the edge rushers are well known and well documented right now what they can do. It is about how they fit with us and some of the stuff that they can do with us and how they be able to be a part of our football team. But I'm really excited with the opportunity to add some of those type of people at our point in the draft at some point. And when that happens, you never know because you don't predict those things. But what you want to do is be prepared when you get to those buckets to have people in those spots that you feel really good about taking and adding to your football team so you can go out there and be productive with those guys.
Now, he said at some point. Should I read into that?
Yeah, well, that didn't sound like he was going edge at 8. That's just me.
It did not. Now, again, guys.
That's what it sounded like.
What? We tried to read between the lines. We did with Zach Robinson.
Sounds like corner.
Sure sounded like a pocket passer to me, right, when we talked to the assistant coaches, right? Pocket passer?
Center.
Well, if you're going for a corner, some might say you drop down to do that because the corner's – Now, again, it's all
more value,
but it all depends. This goes back to what does the Falcon draft board look like? If Terrion Arnold is considered a better athlete, a better player prospect than Darryl Turner or Jared Verse, then they'll go corner.
Yeah.
But we don't know.
Yeah. Where is he at on the big board? But he didn't give us an answer there, did he? I didn't hear it. I want to hear him say, we're going edge and we need to make a decision and you guys will see on draft night.
You know what it sounds like?
What?
When I was a kid and mom would pick me up after school when I was a little kid.
Yes, he could spill the beans. Yes, Orin is arguing with me about spilling the beans. I'm like, he can spill the beans. Go ahead. When you were a kid.
That doesn't matter. Anyway, so we'll hear more from the coaches coming up, guys, about what they have to say at the at the owners' meetings and what the owner had to say about this. It's pesky rumors because Roger Goodell was asked about tampering, and you know he's saying this investigation will continue, Carl, but I'm just not sure about where most Falcon fans feel it's a fugazi. It's a big waste of time. No, it won't be our money, but I sure hope, as we said earlier, just doesn't translate into draft picks. That would really suck.
Well, I don't think there's anything here. Again, that's me. Maybe I'm biased, but if you're going to tell me that Cousins had a conversation with the trainer and that is why he signed here, you're off base. That's just not why it happened.
Right. And I know that a guy who's coming out, you would just think, you know, a little bit of leeway here. But again, the NFL rules are quite specific.
They are.
But to the fan, you say, well, then why do you create a 3.5-day illegal, you know, air quotes, legal tampering period? You know, that you're almost inviting these kind of conversations to take place, especially when it sounds so benign. The guy's just driving down from Minnesota with his family and, you know, talk to somebody on the – everyone knows it's a done deal. There are only two locations this guy was going to be, either Minnesota or here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I just – again, where's the proof? Where's the beef? Show me the proof, and then we can move forward.
What competitive advantage did the trainer, you know, give to the Falcons that somehow you could argue, where's the harm to Minnesota? Because that's all it's about. The team that had the player while he was still under contract for those remaining, what, 18 hours? How was Minnesota harmed by that? You know, what competitive advantage did the Falcons, you know, get from it? And I think that's where most fans say there is none. It's ridiculous, right?
Plus, I think that Minnesota had already made their decision, and the Cousins camp knew that. They weren't offering. They weren't trying to up the ante, and I think they knew that. But at what point did they know it? You know, it's like who ordered the code red, right? I mean, at what point did Cousins and his people know that they weren't going back to Minnesota? Now that it's done, I'm willing to tell you they knew weeks in advance.
Right. And the same thing goes for Saquon Barkley with the Eagles. Now, that one seems a little bit different, but, you know, because there was a bigger market. Now, does that matter to the NFL? The rules are the rules. But it seems like Saquon Barkley had more pieces on the Monopoly board he could have landed.
I just don't like the fact that they're making this out to be bigger than what it is. And I blame Mike Florio.
He started this thing. He gave attraction on Pro Football Talk. Coming up in Guy Talk. Today, more unhealthy decisions for me. And Carl, a fast food option I think you're going to be really excited about at the Golden Arches. Not the Arcs of McDowell, but the Golden Arches. It's coming up next.
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long. Welcome
to Atlanta. Where the play is play, it is a Dukes and Bell. Don't forget, guys, pick up our Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale wherever you get your booze and your beer. And if they didn't got it at your local package store, ask them to pick up Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale as the weather's warming up. And by the way, it will be warming up this weekend and hopefully staying warm. And then you can go get your watermelon lime, which is perfect for the lake and the beach and the pool.
Yeah, the weather is supposed to be nice this weekend. I agree, man. It's heating up. How's your grass, by the way? How's your grass?
Dude, I got 7 different types of grass growing. It's a Franken yard, but it's all green. And I'll take it.
All this rain.
Yeah. And by the way, I was talking to my neighbor, Kirby, about years ago when we had Coach Dooley on, rest his soul.
Yeah.
And you were talking, as we were coming out of commercial, you were talking about planting zoysia. Mm. And Coach is like, I don't know, Kyle. I believe that's too long this time of year for zoysia. How did that zoysia ever turn out, by the way?
The whole yard died. I had to replace it.
Okay. So there you go.
Yeah. But it wasn't the it wasn't the heat. What right. I ended up happening, what had happened was, it was the soil.
Gotcha.
And I had the soil tested, and people may or may not know this because if you bought a home and it's like the grass
too,
is there.
Too alkaline?
Well, and so the soil wasn't conducive to grow because I have a lot of trees and shade, and that's why I was like, oh, zoysia. Long story short, as you can see, I'm a yard guy. Ended up with tall fescue, and it's been great. Now, the problem is it's green all damn year, and sometimes you have to cut it in the winter, but I got a full yard.
Correct. It's not a big deal. Huge deal.
Thank you, Barbara.
Because we started the interview, it's like, Coach, what do you think about Auburn? Well, first, let's talk about this zoysia. I don't know if that's the right time.
He did.
For those who don't know, Coach, his backyard was just unbelievable. I mean, he wrote books about gardening and landscaping.
He
was a real passion for him. So I'm going through it now. But
guys,
yeah.
it's a great hobby to get into, by the way, when you want peace and quiet. Okay, go ahead.
So I've got about 15 different types of grass growing, but it's all green, and that's all you're looking
that's
for,
all
baby.
Yeah, I just need green.
Is coverage. Although the armadillos they're going for those the grubs, so I got to get the grub spray.
They're eating them.
Yeah, and okay. So they're digging around. So yeah, they eat the grubs are like just big worms, right?
Yes, they are. Are they digging your bushes up though?
Not yet.
Okay.
But, well, I'm drawing a line. I'm drawing a line. That line is filled with pee.
Yeah.
Because it's Operation Golden Shower. We covered this, I think, last month. You got to battle. Carl turned me on to this.
Being from
Texas, use urine or coffee grinds to get those critters out of your neck of the woods.
No, they'll get out of there. Claim your space, fellas.
So, Orin, when we were having like a pool party like a couple years ago, hey, if you're heading to the bathroom, grab a red Solo cup in the kitchen and
help me out. Yeah.
And if you do me a favor, just go out to the fence and make a left and just throw it right over there. Thank you.
It's real, man. My Texas buddies were like, oh, all you got to do is pee in that hole. Thank you, Bob. Thanks, Bob.
It's true, though. I give you credit, man. The man knows what he's talking about. Hey, today I went down to see a new client called Good Feet. You'll be hearing the commercials coming up. I'm wearing the arch supports right now, and I got to tell you, I feel like I'm 6 feet tall right now.
Very nice.
And I'm 5'8 in heels. It's amazing. You'll see. We shot a video with the guys from promotions, and you'll hear the commercials starting next week. So I get done down in Noonan yesterday, and thanks to everybody at Good Feet. They're good people. And I'm like driving. I'm like, oh, there's a Culver's right next door. Trying to abide by the diet, but man, I can't beat a good butter burger. So I slid right in and got it. And man, went to town. It was so good.
Culver's is great.
Oh, yeah. Have you had one, Oren?
But their custard is why I go to Culver's.
Yeah.
I love
the cement mixer and all that stuff. They got some good stuff. And yeah, and I don't know if they're on the air with us now. They have been on the air in the past. But anyway, I went bananas and got the Butterburger and the crinkle fries. Oh, just the best. So it's good. Oh, it's good. Brings me to more fast food talk. McDonald's has made an alliance with Krispy Kreme. McDonald's will sell 3 Krispy Kreme donuts nationwide by the end of 2026. It seems like a long while to get this deal done.
At McDonald's?
Yep. Chocolate ice with sprinkles, chocolate ice cream. I'm curious to see how this is all going to work when you mix like ice cream with donuts. So it's interesting to see just why it's going to take so long, but there's a report in one of the food and beverage magazines that say McDonald's is negotiating with Krispy Kreme the idea of you being able to get 3 Krispy Kremes, whether regular original glaze or chocolate with sprinkles.
You just can't have one Krispy Kreme.
You can't.
That's the problem.
You can't.
You just can't eat one.
No, especially, you know, when the light's on. I know that one at Pots, it used to burn down all the time. it was kind of like a Zombieville over there. I don't know who set the fire, but that one would always come down every once in a while they'd build it back up. That's always like being you beat the Popeyes at Pots, speaking of fast food. You'd be, of course, told to, would you mind pulling ahead? Of course you have to pull ahead. And then you gotta sit there and it's like a zombie movie. It's like, no, I have no cash. I have no cash. No, please stop. Get away. Gotta circle the block. Hey, the McDonald's, and again, I read the article. I did read it right. 26. So I guess they're working out the deal. I don't think it would take that much of a deal, but I guess you got to get Krispy Kreme to McDonald's. McDonald's has to prepare it, heat it up properly, and then you're good to go. So that'd be interesting to see how that partnership may or may not work out.
I'm all good. I like McDonald's coffee. They do a good job. I can give me a Krispy Kreme.
Stay tuned. I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning, turn on the news, and you see the story about what happened in Baltimore. How crazy is that?
The bridge?
The Francis Scott Key Bridge gets hit by one of those gigantic mega containers that has all you've seen it. That has all the containers stacked like, 720 high, whatever. And it seems like the boat, or the ship, I should say, from Singapore, it's called the Dolly, lost power, and then pow, goes right into this bridge. Same thing happened when I was a little kid in Tampa, and it was called the Sunshine Skyway. Now you see that beautiful bridge. There was an old bridge that looks like the bridge that just collapsed in Baltimore. It got hit by a boat because of bad weather. A storm whipped up, and a big ship smashed into that bridge, and a big chunk in the middle went down. And a Greyhound bus went off. Like 150 feet. Yeah, you can look it up back in 1980. So they're comparing that to what's going down in Baltimore. It's a huge part of the ring road. It's 695. They actually have 2 ring roads in Baltimore through the harbor. But they got to get this all the wreckage out of the way. They're still looking for survivors the bodies, victims, I should say. And there was a crew that was working on the bridge right in the middle, working on potholes when the ship hit it, they said. So it's just scary stuff.
Yeah, obviously the first thing you think about, and people, the crazy conspiracy theorists, I know you're out there, was this some kind of terrorist threat or what happened? It wasn't. It was basically ineptitude.
They lost control, and Oren just mentioned my ear. Yeah, they did get a word to the harbor master, then called the DOT to say, look, you got to stop traffic, keep people off the bridge. We got a ship that's in the channel. They don't know where it's going.
Yep.
So it wound up hitting the bridge. But yeah, when I was younger, the Sunshine Skyway went down in 1980, and that's when you have that giant, it almost looks like 2 sails now when you come in Tampa Bay, when you go from St. Petersburg down towards Bradenton. So that happened back in the day, but you may have seen that today on the news. Hey, some other news for you. We were talking about this over the weekend, and I know that you're a big cigar guy. Apparently, I got a couple of texts from some dudes yesterday. I'm not the only person who's apparently burned his face off with a high-powered cigar lighter in very high wind conditions. How's it look, by the way? It look too bad?
No.
All right.
But those torches will get you.
Yeah, and just there's a setting on those things. I didn't realize that I had it set at F-18.
On the bottom, yeah.
Like I said yesterday, like an afterburn. Boom. And I had one dude's like, yeah, man. I was like, I had to go. One guy apparently said he had, I guess, a second-degree burn from one of those things.
Yeah, they'll get you.
So, but it's hard. You don't really see the flame on it.
No, but you got to light it out here. I know you had it in your mouth.
I did.
And it was a small, you had already. Yes.
So you're saying I was being a stupid head.
You got to take it out and light it out here.
So you're saying the technique was not good.
Because I've been there. I'm like, just light it right here.
The wind is whipping up. I've got the cigar down to where it kind of looks like, a cigar that any sergeant in a war movie would have it down to, right? The corner of your mouth. And then, So, just be careful with that stuff. Speaking of injuries, we just got news right before we went into the commercial break. Oren reminding us the Hawks have made a statement about Trey's status.
He's back?
You and I were talking about, if we do make some sort of a run.
Is he back?
Trey Young, who sustained a left, why can't they say pinky? Left fifth finger.
Is he back?
Is it because pinky is considered effeminate? Is that why now? Is it political correctness? Why can't you say pinky? The left fifth. Whoever says, Carl, my left
fifth finger.
We went through this the night it happened, and we were like, which one? One, two, three. I didn't know if it was his
thumb
or his pinky.
The thumb and four fingers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Is he back?
Pointer, middle finger, the ring finger.
You got to do it like
and
that.
And the pinky. Anyway, he is making progress. Oh. It is apparently the surgery occurred February 27th. This is from the Hawks release on Twitter. An Emory Healthcare update. He is making progress. As the next step of Trey's rehabilitation, he will introduce small finger motion exercises this week.
Are there weights included with that small finger exercise?
Do you remember the old commercial with paper football where the guy was doing tiny little rubber bands around his fingers?
Working his fingers out.
And he had like a tiny little dumbbell on his what was then called a pinky.
Work it out.
I mean, does Trey, I mean, what is he, do you walk around like making little horsey hands? You know, little horsey hands. All four fingers on the table. Anyway, so his status will be updated. What does that mean to you? What does that sound like to you?
You want the truth, or you want me to tell you what you want to hear?
Lie to me, baby. Lie to me.
It's great. I just don't think there's enough time for him to get back. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
And it's great that he's at this point, but this is one of those things, Mike, where we're not even thinking about him. And I want you to think about this part of it, because it's going to happen. When he gets hit on that hand.
Right.
In a game, and it's accidental. How does that affect his shooting? How does that affect his ball handling? That is the concern for me when you start saying, is he going to make it back? He could.
Right.
But Mike, there's like 2.5 weeks left.
Is it out of character, or is it wrong for me to invoke the name Bernard King?
Just tape it up.
Tape it up.
So fun fact, Russell Westbrook, a couple of days afterwards, broke his hand, had surgery. Russ played last night with a full cast, like a cast, on his shooting hand.
See, that's what Trey can't do that.
Why not?
Why not? Russ played one with his right hand.
Because they don't count on Russ to do what Trey's counting on doing for the Hawks.
They kind of count on Russ to run around like a chicken with his head cut off. And then throw the ball up against the backboard.
They're better with him, though, than without him, though, right?
Yes, but they're not playing great. You know that.
Right.
We're talking about the Clippers.
But that's Oren, by the way.
How's Harden doing? Don't answer that.
Big O. But no, I mean, I'm just saying. Now, for those who don't know, when I was a kid, Bernard King basically looked like the mummy. He had so much tape on his hands.
No, listen, I'd love for him to come back. I'm just, you know, making jokes here. But I do think it's going to be tough because, Mike, depending on the weight that he's lifting with these fingers, look at me.
Right?
Right.
With the pinky?
What?
I mean, isn't your release more about your pointer finger and your middle finger than your pinky?
This is not the motion I should be doing.
Don't forget to work the undercarriage. On that note, there's your guide talk brought to you by.
What about this? What about this? This.
Well, that's a very tender doctor if it's a prostate exam. I'll tell you that.
Whatever he's doing to work the fingers. My point is, I hope he
gets back. So again, let the Trey Nation hear that Oren Romain has just called Trey soft, and that Russell Westbrook has gotten back quickly with a more serious hand injury.
What did he do? What was his numbers last night? Did he score?
14-11
on his shooting hand, because I didn't see that. I was so enthralled with the Hawks coming back from 30, I did not see Clippers.
Trey is our leader. Technically, he's our big toe like Sergeant Hulk, but can he use his pinky, Carl? That is the question. Right. We'll come back. We played the audio earlier for guys who missed it. Did Coach Raheem Morris give you any insight as to what we're doing to the 8th overall pick? He and Arthur also denying there was any tampering for Cousins. You'll hear it in the Falcon Report next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.